Brother Mark, you would say David understood that lesson in the book of Chronicles. When everybody was bringing, he says, all is from thee, and from thy hand do we give. So whatever the saints of God do and give, it's really from the Lord himself. It's not from you and from me. The other thing is this wonderful aspect that we were talking about, to be hospitable. The Apostle Paul says to be hospitable without murmuring. Sometimes we ask somebody, you know, in words, come over, and then he says, okay, thank you, I will. Is he coming, really? But you know, again, it's the truth of words are cheap, you know. But to do things in a faithful way, also embrace. There is a verse that we should take hold of it, dear brethren. It says, do good to all men. When you want to do good to all, especially from the household of faith. There is a sense of responsibility toward one another. There is no question, the greatest test upon the believer. I can stand and say how much I love the Lord, and of course you talk from the scripture, you know, all these things. But once it starts hitting the pocket, let's be honest about it. This is the greatest test. This is why. When it came to service, only service, the Lord said you cannot serve two masters. You have to make up your mind. Are these possessions for the Lord like this man? He was hospitable. He embraced them in, but he also helped in enhancing the gospel. I'm thinking to close with the verse that the Apostle Paul speaks of Philippians, that ye were fellowshipping with me in the gospel. Well, they didn't go out and preach. But they were individuals that were faithful, that gave themselves to the Lord first. And then they gave gifts, or whatever you want to help, you want to call it, to Paul. And in thus doing, they enhanced the gospel as the brethren have been speaking.
These are very good points. And I just want to emphasize that in the context of 3 John, verse 5, the thoughts there are brethren and strangers. These strangers are believers in Christ.
Yes.
And just to give this a little perspective, look at the second letter of John, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what is the doctrine? It's the doctrine of Christ in verse 9, that he is both that he hath both the Father and the Son. That's the doctrine of the Father and the Son. If anyone come and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. So there, it is not that Gaius would let anyone into his house.
No.
Okay, so let's just, you know, that's really a form of socialism, communism, and sometimes we mix the two and say that's Christianity. Anyone asks me for anything, I give him whatever they want. But Gaius had discernment, and these strangers were coming with the doctrine of Christ.
Yes.
But they were not known by him. And that was the obstacle, right? He had to have faith that they were real when they came. So he based on what they were preaching, and he accepted them. And it was a good work. So just to bring that into balance with
important.
Second John.
Also to add to that, the expression brethren, that's kind of a different line that you shouldn't see in John's writing. That's a Paul line. Mm-hmm. I think it's only mentioned and sent to be corrected in the third epistle twice. He speak about a brother, maybe in the first epistle. But brethren, that is not really the line of John. But brings the idea of the whole family of God. And that's just a point exactly, again, to highlight the fact that this is family. This is family. And what is the whole approach to family? It is really how to do things to them. Because you mentioned the household of faith, especially those of the household of faith. That's exactly what it is. It is a household of faith. It's family. It's a household. Because John is the apostle of the family. How do you treat your family members? Some of them you might not know. They are stranger because you just don't know them face to face. But how you act and you react with them. If we approach the people of God in that way, that they are my family. They are the family of God. Our relationship to them will completely be different. I'll give anything for the sake of my brother. I love my brother. I'll do the same thing for my mom, for my dad. It's the same thing when I look at my brother in the same way. And the Lord Jesus said that. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? You know, it's the same thing. When we are When we become Christian, the whole family thing completely changed now. It's not the biological family anymore, although we should take care of that, but it's really the family of God. And that will give the liberty to give, not the selfishness that characterized mankind from the time of sin.
If I recognize that everything I possess is a gift from God, I'm not going to splurge or give it away carelessly, that it might be used for wrong purposes. I want to give it there where it will be used in the right way, immediately. But I think this is borne out here in the following verses, that how did John speak of this? To where did he hear about it? It wasn't from Gaius, but it was, which have borne witness of thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou doest well. So it here was in the whole company of the saints of God, and there it was spoken about what he had done in his faithful work and what he had been doing, and that characterized his doing. Whatever he did it in a way that commended itself to the saints generally, and they spoke of it, how effective it had been, how well they considered him, and therefore John can say, beloved, again and again, that his affections were unrestrained towards this dear brother.
So I wonder if this, so in one sense he's talking about, to Gaius, about you've been a channel through which the love of God can flow. And it seems unhindered. Mm-hmm. And so on the side of the testimony, he's been a channel. And praise God that we sing that sometimes, don't we? Channels only. That we would desire to be a channel through which God's thoughts, God's ways and attitude can flow through us to other saints. And then on the other side, I was wondering if in Luke 12, where we have the idea of the treasure, and the other side, that we actually are responsible, as you said, everything belongs to the Lord. He's given to us in responsibility. And how are we investing what we've been given? Are we storing up for ourselves, as it says in Luke 12, verse 33, sell that you have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches nor moth corrupts, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in both ways, on the side of being a channel, we need to be willing and faithful to be that channel. On the other side, how are we investing what the Lord has given us? How are we using it? And do we realize that everything we're given, as we use it for His glory, is actually storing up a treasure in heaven? So the moment we've been saved, the Lord opened an account for us in heaven. And we, you know, the more you put into your account, the bigger your account gets. And so that should motivate us to invest in eternity. I think it's investing in eternity. Mm-hmm.